Well, it is a new year, new opportunities, and we get excited about becoming better people, achieving more, accomplishing more in life. How many of you are goal setters, maybe New Year's resolution kind of people? You think about goals for 2019, show of hands, anybody? All right, a handful of folks. All right, how many of you made it a goal last year to never raise your hand again in a church poll? Anyone? All right. Thank you. No one's raising hands. Acts chapter 6 is where we are, and it is the new year. We're talking about new things, new beginnings, fresh starts, and maybe even going as far, I hope, and what we're going to talk about today is taking new steps in our faith with God, accomplishing greater things for the glory of God. We want to have a passion to live our lives the way God wants us to live them, to do what He wants to do with our lives. How can we do that? How can we better live out the saved life that we have been given? Today, we move into this new series, All Things New. Our theme verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Many of you know it. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. As I read verses, this is the first sermon as I switch to a new translation. I've been trying to make this move for years, and I'm trying it out, so I'm going to stumble through the verses because it doesn't read the same way, and it's messing with my brain. But here we go anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Listen, friend, when 2019 started, all the mistakes, all the failures, all the stuff of your past, listen, that's old, that's gone. It's new. It's new life, new opportunities, fresh starts, a new day, new weeks, new months, a new year in front of us. What are we going to do with it? We think about the old life we used to live before Christ. That life is gone. Now we have new life in Christ. What are you going to do with the life that God has given to you in 2019? Because if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, it means you're a new person, that the old is gone, the new has come. This transformation happened at a moment in time. I mentioned earlier during the welcome that on March 3rd, 1992, I accepted Christ into my life. And at that moment, the old Marty died, the sinful life passed on, the new life in Christ came about. I was made into a new person. It was a moment in time. That's how our salvation works. But that transformation is something that just doesn't happen a moment in time, but it's a continual process of transformation day after day, year after year, and it's going to be a year of transformation if you allow it in your life in 2019 as we choose to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Listen to these verses about this continual change that's happening. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But that is not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed. There's a process of discipleship, an experience of life change day after day, year after year. This year means something. It is a fresh opportunity that God has given to you, that you have breath, that you're gathered here today, that you have life. God is still using you. Sometimes we think about a new year, we just think about we're getting older. Life's just marching on. How could it be 2019? But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says this: we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Over these next several weeks, we're going to talk about some ways to be renewed, how we can be made new. We're going to look at simple things on how we can better take care of the lives, the bodies, the physical aspect of life that God has given to us. We're going to talk about the very important aspect of how we can grow spiritually, and even the very difficult but practical conversation of how to better handle our money in a new way in 2019. But today, I want us to talk about making a new commitment in our service to the Lord and to His church. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. I read earlier in our service, as you turn there, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Church, I want us to understand that not only is 2019 a new opportunity for us individually, it is a new opportunity to do great things for God as a church. And I'm excited about 2019 at Thomasville First Baptist Church. God is going to do some great stuff. We know and believe wholeheartedly by faith and with great assurance that in 2019, we're going to see people saved. We're going to see people cross from death to life and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And we ought to be ecstatic. We ought to be pumped up about that. We ought to be fired up about the fact that in 2019, more people are going to get saved. We're going to see people come to faith in Christ. We're going to welcome with open arms new people into our church fellowship. We're going to have new people join our family and become part of the family of believers right here at our church. What an exciting thing to know. We're going to teach the Bible. We're going to preach sermons. We're going to worship together. We're going to gather in small groups. And we're going to have all these great experiences in our discipleship journey together. We're going to worship together. We're going to help other churches in Thomas County. We're going to help churches in other places like in Boston or locations internationally. We're going to do all this great stuff in 2019. Thomasville First Baptist Church, it's going to be a great year. But here's the question. Will you be here? Will you be a part of what we're going to do together? Will you do your part? Three things I want to share with you today. I want you to understand some important things. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. When you are missing, ministry is missing. When you are missing, ministry is missing. Now, this is very important for us to talk about today and right here at the beginning of the year. And I know it's the first Sunday of the year. What a great way to start your year. Kudos to you for being here. But school's not back in. It's a lot of distractions, but you're here. I know I'm preaching to the choir today. You are a faithful group of people. You showed up today. You're here to worship. But there is a significant change happening in the church, in churches across America and right here in our own church. And this reality is setting in that people are attending less often than they did in the past. Maybe you can evaluate your own life today. Maybe you've been here for 10, 20 plus years and you look at your life and you go, you know what? That's true. I don't attend at the same level I did a decade ago. We're very mobile. We're on the go. We're doing things. We have other things happening in life and we don't come as often as we used to. And we're seeing this phenomenon happen in churches where people are attending less often. But it's not just in churches. That's the good news. We see this trend happening in any type of gathering of people. Movie theaters, they're experiencing a downturn in attendance of people. Sporting events, concerts, all these types of gatherings are having the same experience. There's so much competition for our time and attention. We are a much more mobile society. We are much more inclined toward things online, to gatherings of people. And that's just a reality of 2019. Now, it's a bad thing for the economy of a theater or a sporting venue when attendance ticks down, but it's a tragic thing when that translates into the church. It's a real problem that has to be addressed. But let's ask an honest question. As we think about people detaching a little bit in their faithfulness, their patterns of attendance, here's an honest question. Why come to church? Isn't it true that you can find something better elsewhere? I mean, let's just be honest today, and I'll just own up to this readily, and I'm not shy about admitting it. You know, you can come to church and you can hear me preach, and maybe that's a reason people would say, why do you go to church? Well, I go to hear a sermon. But here's the fact. You can hear a better sermon somewhere else. You can right now get in your car, turn on your phone and your Bluetooth, and hear a better sermon than I'll ever preach for the rest of my life. You have access at your fingertips with your phone, your computer, your device to hear the best communicators from across the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I remember back when I was in high school, I was homesick or skipping school. Let's go with homesick. So I was homesick one day and I was flipping to the channels. And I clicked on this channel with preaching from like a religious channel. And this guy named Ronnie Floyd was preaching. I never heard of Ronnie Floyd. Well, since that time, he's been the president of our Southern Baptist Convention, very prominent Christian and speaker out there and author and all the rest. But I heard this amazing sermon. I was so moved, and I had access only because I happened to see it on a TV channel on an afternoon at a scheduled time. If I missed it, there was no way to find it again. You couldn't log on to a website. That's right. I'm really old, young people, but there was no internet back then. And I actually did this. I called a 1-800 number and I ordered a cassette tape. And 2 weeks later, I had access again to that cassette, to that sermon. And I popped it in my, what we call back then, my boombox. I had a boombox. I carried it around and did my break. No, I just had this little radio and I put the tape in and I listened to the sermon again. And if I didn't have such a bad vehicle, I could have popped it in my tape deck, but it didn't work. But, you know, back then it was a lot different. Well, today you can hear the best sermons from the best communicators in all the world, even people. My favorite preacher's dead now, and I can hear him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything has changed. So you don't have to come to church just to hear a sermon. Well, maybe you'll come for the music, right? We need to come to church so we can hear the worship music. I mean, Jeremiah, our band, our volunteers, Andy, these folks are incredible musicians. And you're not going to go out there and find something better, but you can probably find something as good, right? You can go on the internet. You could go somewhere. You could hear great music. So maybe we don't need to come to church. We can hear better preaching somewhere else. We can hear music that's just as good. What's the point of coming? Well, someone said, well, you need to be here to experience community. You need to be around other people and live life with others. But here's the deal. We live in a small town. We have a lot of community in our community. Some of you have really close relationships with people you work with. Your family lives in town. You hang out with people who don't go to church here. You go out to eat with folks. You grew up here maybe, and you don't feel this longing to have more connections in relationships. That part of your life has fulfillment, and you just don't need that. So we could conclude today, well, if we can get better preaching somewhere else, we can hear good music elsewhere, we have relationships maybe out in other places, maybe we don't need to come to church. Why even come on a Sunday? And you're sitting there thinking, perhaps, Marty, this is the weirdest sermon I've ever heard in the world. You are deconstructing coming to church and telling us basically we don't need to come anymore. What in the world are you talking about? Well, listen carefully. I could take this sermon and multiple sermons and preach to you and explain to you why you need to follow a biblical model of hearing the elder pastor preach in your local church. I can easily make the case in sermon after sermon for joining with believers in a local assembly for worship together. There's biblical mandate for these things. I can talk about the way that we are supposed to live in community with Christian people in the bonds of a church fellowship and membership together to hold one another accountable, to disciple one another, to help each other in a local church fellowship. We could make that argument, make that case clearly from Scripture, and yes, you can get aspects of that elsewhere, but we have a biblical context and command for that. But here's what I'm getting to. Here's what I want you to hear. As much as anything, we need to be here in our church because we have a ministry responsibility. And when you are missing, you say, well, Marty, it's no big deal, because I'll be honest with you. My pastor back home had a huge influence on me. I can barely tell you anything he ever preached. I had this great music program that I listened to in my church. I don't remember one song they performed. And we could say, you know what, Marty, I missed your sermon. Big yawn. I heard Andy Stanley on this podcast, and I heard this great sermon from whatever guy out there. And you might think, I don't miss anything when I am missing. But when you are missing, here's what's missing. It's ministry. You see, when you became a believer, God gave to you, He placed inside of you certain spiritual gifts that you are to use to bless other Christians in your church fellowship. And as much as you are here on Sunday to sing and to learn and to have all those aspects we think about, you are here to serve and to bless other people. So your mindset, when you get in the car or you're having your prayer time on Sunday morning and you're preparing yourself, it's not just this. It's not just praying, God, speak to me through a sermon today. Let your living word, as it's preached, penetrate my heart. God, let the worship just move my heart and cause me to lift my hands or sing out loud. It's not just that kind of prayer, but it's praying, God, as I go to church today, show me who I need to minister to. Because God, you are leading me to go to my church on a Sunday morning to minister to someone. God, you show me when I'm walking through the hallways and I enter that room, who it is that needs encouragement, because God, you are sending me to church today to build up some other Christian people. That's why I'm there. God, you've gifted me to build up the body of Christ. So when you come on this church campus, when you gather with the members of this local church, you're here to make a difference. You're not here to just walk in and sit down and decide if you like the song or if the preacher's sermon was boring or he tells bad dad jokes or any of that stuff. You're here to learn, to be challenged, to receive, to be uplifted, but you're here to give praise to God and to build up other people. God has given you spiritual gifts for that purpose. That's why you come. And when you're not here, ministry is missing. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says here, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. So when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God became a seal, Ephesians chapter 1, guaranteeing what is to come. God placed the Holy Spirit inside of you, and with the Holy Spirit comes spiritual gifts. God has given to every person, each individual Christian, every believer here this morning has the Spirit of God inside of them and a manifestation of that Spirit. Why? For the common good. That's why you have spiritual gifts. It's not to say, hey, look how good I am at living out my faith. Look how good I am at teaching the Bible or doing this or doing that. The reason you have spiritual gifts, the reason every Christian has spiritual gifts, is to come together in the context of the local church and to exhibit and express those gifts for the edification of the whole body of believers. So when you come to church, you use those gifts to make a difference. And when you're missing, ministry is missing. Look again at verse 1. I think we see this happening here in this verse. In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, so all these people were coming to faith in Christ, the church was growing, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews. So the people started complaining. They were a Baptist church, so we have evidence right here. They were complaining about things. So all of a sudden, all these new people were coming in. You had the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. Now, this is important. The Hellenistic Jews were the people from somewhere else. Somebody joked me the other day. They said, if you weren't born in Thomasville, you could live there your whole life, be there most of your life, but if you were born somewhere else, you're not from Thomasville. That's how small towns can be, right? And that's how it was here. It was like there were those who were from there and those who weren't from there. There were those who moved in and those who were already living there. So you had the Hellenistic Jews. They had a Greek influence in their life. They migrated back in to this region of Palestine. You had the Hebraic Jews. They were from there. They were the insiders. The others were the outsiders. And it says that the widows, the Hellenistic widows, felt that they were being overlooked in the daily distribution. So the church had this incredible ministry. If you belong to the church and you're a widow, you didn't have social programs, you didn't have things that would provide for you in that day and time. So if your husband died, the way the economic world worked at that time, you could end up starving. You needed people to take care of you, and the church became the groom to these widows. So every day they had a daily distribution of food, and they would hand out food, and the Hellenistic Jews felt like they weren't getting their fair share like the Hebraic Jews. So what I believe we see here is that people were not yet using their spiritual gifts to meet the needs of the people. What was happening, the church leaders were doing the work of the ministry, and that was making a huge mess of the situation. Now, maybe not in your view, but a generation ago, a lot of people felt like, you know, the pastor does the work of the ministry. We go hear what the pastor says. We listen to his sermon. We hear about the things he's been doing, the people he's gone to visit in the hospital, the ministry, the people he's led to Christ, whatever. And we like that and applaud it, or we feel like he hasn't done what he needed to do. That was more like Acts chapter 6. They were looking for the leaders of the church to do all the ministry, and it made a big, giant mess of everything. Why? Because people were missing. And because of that, ministry was missing. Listen carefully. If we're missing from church, and listen, I'm not saying like going on vacation. I'm not saying you won't be sick or you're going out of town for something. You got work responsibilities. It's not about legalism. It's not about just trying to check a box and say you've been here more than anyone else. We're not trying to put a guilt trip on you today. My son Andrew was telling me recently, he said, "Dad, it's the weirdest thing, I guess just being a preacher's kid, but I'll meet people, adults in various contexts, and they'll find out that I'm a preacher's kid or that you're my dad, and oh, your dad's the pastor at First Baptist." And he said, "It's the weirdest thing, it's like they start confessing their sins, like he's the priest or something. I know I need to be going to church more than I do, and I'm going to do better." And he's like, "Why are you telling me this? I'm not your pastor." But, you know, it's not about a guilt trip today that you think, "Oh, I just need to start going to church more, and I'm not attending like I should," and I'm not talking about that. But we do have folks, even in our membership, man, you pop in, and then you're like, AWOL, it's like, what happened to that guy? Remember so-and-so, I hadn't seen him in months, and then you pop back in. You're in, you're out, you're gone all the time, and you're not plugging in. And when you are missing, what I want you to understand is not this feeling of guilt, I've got to check the box or anything like that, but when you're missing, ministry is missing. When you're not here, we're missing your spiritual gifts. Somebody is going home discouraged because you weren't here to build them up. When you're not here and you have the gift of serving, someone wasn't served. When you have the gift of giving and you're not here, you didn't give to someone who had need. Ministry is missing when you're not here. And I think that was the case here in the early church. The church nearly collapsed because people were missing and not showing up using their gifts. It's interesting in this church. If you rewind the clock and look at the past couple of chapters before chapter 6 here, you find that immorality came into the church and two people were struck dead over it, and it didn't disrupt the church. The church went through that simple issue. Then you have the apostles are persecuted for their faith, and persecution comes, and that doesn't disrupt the church. It keeps pressing on, and people are joining and being saved and all the rest. But then you have this situation of discord and this problem of people not using their gifts, and all of a sudden, problems started to arise, and the church nearly collapses. And that same struggle happens today when people don't plug in and use their gifts. Understand today, when you are missing, ministry is missing. Number two, if you're taking notes, is this: every person has a part to play. There's something that you need to do to help complete the picture of God's church at Thomasville First Baptist. Maybe you're called to use your gifts in the tech ministry, helping to run a camera or run the soundboard, the light board, or helping some aspect like that. Maybe God's placed this huge calling on your life and you're actually called to go work in the nursery. You can do it. It's bad down there. There are dirty diapers and everything, but we need volunteers, and we can't do what we do in here without people volunteering down there. Or maybe it's teaching a life group or greeting people at the door. Look, everybody smile at me real quick. Man, that feels real good. I appreciate that, by the way, because it's hard. Sometimes you preach and you don't know if people are happy or mad, but you're smiling at me. Listen, you just qualified to help in the greeter ministry. That's all we're looking for. Smile. Hey, how you doing? We're glad you're here. You can plug in and use your gifts to make a difference. The point is this: every person has a part to play. In our passage, we find a group who appear to serve in the first body of church deacons, or at least it's a good model for deacons. We're not sure if Acts chapter 6, they're deacons or not. But let me tell you a little bit about the word deacon. We ordained some deacons earlier in the service. The word deacon is from a word in the original language that just means servant. These were people that had a spiritual gift and heart for serving other people. Paul talked about this gift in Romans chapter 12. He said this: "According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If service, use it in service." Now in that text, Paul also talks about other spiritual gifts. And it says that we all have these gifts, different gifts. You have a gift, someone else has a different gift, I may have a different gift from you. We have these different gifts, and whatever gift we have, Paul says, use it for the glory of God. Use it to bless others. Use your gift. Listen again to our account in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, just as a side note, it's interesting here. It was the Hellenistic Jews, the Greek Jews, who were upset. Those widows felt like they were being neglected. All 7 of those who were chosen have Greek names, implying that they made this wise decision to really show care and concern toward those who were hurting. But the apostles, they were very wise here not to let go of the things that only they could do. They were called to preach. They were called to lead the people. They were to seek the will of God on behalf of the congregation. And they had this really tough decision to make here in this passage. The implication there in verse 2 is that people were saying, apostles, y'all need to come help solve this problem. Y'all need to meet this need and take care of this situation. But instead of trying to be all things to all people and be perfect in every situation, these apostles put forward, look, we're men of clay feet. We can't do everything. We're going to do what we're called to do, and we need other people to step up and do what they're called to do. And all of us together, fulfilling the part and roles we play, we can make a difference for the glory of God. They equipped other people for work in the ministry. Today, all of us have a part to play. I have my role and responsibilities, you have your role and responsibilities, and all of us together make ministry happen. Paul would use an illustration of a body, a human body, to talk about what it's like with all of us playing our different parts. We might think about little parts of a puzzle. Paul used this illustration. Listen to this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and are all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Now, the idea here is that you say, well, I don't teach a class. I'm not getting up on stage singing. I'm not up there preaching. I just have this menial thing behind the scenes. Paul's saying just because your gift may not look like someone else's doesn't mean it's unimportant. It doesn't make it less a part of the body. He says that the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged all the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Today, when we gather for church, I may be the one up here with the microphone talking, and it feels like I'm never going to get done. Maybe we're close to the end. But it's not about me on a stage preaching a sermon. I'm not the central component of what happens here. It's not about Jeremiah or others singing or playing. It's not about any particular person who has a more prominent or more important role. It's all of us together because, again, I can't do what I do if someone's not down there in the nursery changing diapers. It's every person doing some part that makes all of it come together, and every part is equally important in the body of Christ. We are a spiritual body, and each of us have a part to play in that body. So where is God calling you to serve? What is he calling you to do here in our church? You have a part to play, and when you're missing, ministry is missing. Now I want you to understand the impact. If you find where you're to serve the Lord, to express your giftedness, it makes a huge difference. Number 3, and finally, understand the impact that serving others strengthens the church. When you get excited about serving Jesus, when you get active serving the Lord's people, you make a difference. You change lives. You accomplish kingdom work. You are impacting eternal things when you show up and do your part and express your gifts as God has given them to you. Note what happened to these servants in the church when they started fulfilling their task of caring for the church widows. Look at verse 7. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Man, that should be our prayer. God, grant that here, that the word of God would spread, that disciples would increase and people would become obedient to the faith. Now, I want you to think about the context here. Imagine yourself in the first century, Acts chapter 6, a bunch of widows are fighting and fussing, and you get nominated to go stand in basically a soup line and pass out food. You're giving out this food, and you're thinking, really, my life's calling here. Boy, I'm really turning the world upside down, handing out this food to all these complaining people that keep griping with each other. What difference does this really make? Why can't I do something greater? God, I want to conquer the world. I want to do amazing things for you. And I'm standing here in a line with a bunch of gripey people handing out soup and bread. This is absolutely pointless. Anyone could do what I'm doing. Friend, it's these folks here that allowed the church to continue to what we have today. Had the church folks not shown up and done ministry, even what is perceived as a menial task, the church would have splintered and split and never grown. God gifted people, and they showed up and did their part, and they changed the world. And because they handed out bread and soup or whatever else they gave out, what happened in verse 7 is a result of their ministry. The apostles were still preaching the sermons. They were still praying. They were still doing what they had always done. What brought about the results of verse 7? It was folks standing in a line, handing out bread and helping people who were hungry, resolving conflict in the church. And it changed the world at that time, and it changes our world today. When we all do our part with confidence in our calling, ministry flourishes. When our people, whether it's the pastors, the deacons, the teachers, the greeters, whoever, when we're plugged in and doing what we're called to do, lives are changed, people are saved, and faith is alive. As we have a new year before us, I believe 2019 is going to be unbelievable as we all get plugged in and do our part. And you may be struggling, where do I fit in? You know, we need to find that. Don't think, well, if they ask me, I'll do something, but nobody ever asked me to do anything. Or I volunteered that one time and they never called me back. They must not really need anyone. You've got to find your place. You've got to be proactive. You've got to step up and do what God has called you to do. And as we can help, we certainly want to help. As I can help, I want to help you. But we've got to get you plugged in to where God is calling you. You've got to jump on it, take responsibility, and start serving. Now, as we close, let me say this. Many of you faithfully and sacrificially serve the Lord and His people here in our church. Thank you for what you do. As we move into this new year, I hope you are just as excited as ever before, that you're doubling down on the work God's called you to, and you're ready to serve and minister and bless the Lord's people and use your gifts for His glory. Thank you for what you do. But there are many people here today who have never served the Lord and His people. Perhaps you haven't been faithful in your attendance. Maybe you've been really sporadic. And, you know, church is a priority, but it's a priority among a bunch of other priorities. And you look back and you say, man, I just feel kind of guilty, and the preacher's harping on that. And, man, I'm just so embarrassed. I need to do better. I'm not serving, I'm not attending like I should. Look, all that's behind us. Man, you're on a streak. 2019, you're 100%, man. You're doing great. Keep it up. Press on. Make a commitment today, and let's make 2019 different. The old is gone. The new has come. Here we are living in today and trusting God for our future. So leave that behind you. Get plugged in. Use your spiritual gifts for the glory of God and the strengthening of God's church, His chosen instrument for this world, for His kingdom's work. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the church. We thank you for Thomasville First Baptist, that we get to belong here among family, the family of believers here in this assembly. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful people who serve so faithfully. I thank you for those who have not discovered yet where they're going to serve, how you're going to use them. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling them. I thank you ahead of time for the great things you're going to do in and through them. And Lord, we look forward to a great 2019. We're going to plug in. We're going to do our part. We're going to do what you've called us to do. We're going to come here to build up others, to strengthen others, to equip others. And together, we're going to do your work in our community and our world. as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you today, if you need to step up and you need to become more faithful, plugged in ministry, doing your part, making a difference, strengthening the church, I hope you'll make that commitment right now. Would you just pray to the Lord and say, God, I'm all in. I'm committing. Whatever it is, whatever you're calling me to, God, I'm all in. Use me for your glory. Hey, thanks for starting out on the right foot today. First Sunday of the year. Let's keep it going. Let's press forward. Let's do great things for God. Father, again, we thank you for this church. Thank you for the work ahead. We trust in you for great things. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts as we make further commitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen.